Hello and a warm welcome to the Racing Postcast, sponsored by Tote Fancy for our special postcast, the Cheltenham Festival preview, a quickfire preview of the Cheltenham Festival. I'm joined by two star-studded guests for the show. Start off with Racing Post's very own Mr. Robbie Wilders. Robbie, how are you?
Hello, Sam. Good to see you, mate. Yeah, I'm absolutely knackered, to be honest. Woke up at 4 o'clock this morning, but I mean, that wasn't expected, but still an exciting week, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of hard work going in before the festival here. And is this like your first like Cheltenham preview show? I haven't seen you on TV.
Yeah, no, I didn't get an invite for any, unfortunately, mate. But I'd have probably said no anyway. So,
Right, okay.
Considering I work for this company, I can't turn this one down.
No. It's going to be a good show, this. And Jamie Benson from Tote Fancy. Jamie, looking forward to playing the Tote Fancy game during the week, and plenty on offer.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be fascinating, isn't it? I'm just delighted it's sort of here. We don't know. All the talking's over. We can finally just let the horses do the running, and maybe me do the losing. But it'll be good fun. Fancy will be running every day. We've already got the pool open for the Tuesday. It's building nicely. Plenty of angles into the day's races there amongst some longer shots anti-post further into the week. But yeah, looking forward to getting through it.
Absolutely. And people can join the Racing Postcast League as well. There'll be a tweet out with regards to that and how to join that league. And we'll be playing the game every day as a postcast team. So hopefully on this preview, we can pick out plenty of winners and go into the week with a strong star-studded team. We're going to go flying through this preview, and we'll kick things off on day one with the 1:30 at Cheltenham. It's the Skybet Supreme Novices Hurdle. The best prices currently: Fasol Vega 5-2, Marine National 9-2, Elete Tomp is 5-1, Tamuras 10-1, 12-1 about in the pocket, 14s about high definition, and 18s bar these. Rain has come, Robbie Wilders, and this is only going to suit Fasol Vega, isn't it?
Boy, has it. Yeah, it will. I mean, he won the bumper on heavy last season. When he flopped at Leopardstown, obviously went too hard, but it was yielding ground, is a little bit quicker. I think the rain is certainly bad news for Marine National. He was the way I've been looking all year, but you wouldn't have really expected soft ground the first day. I'm looking at two each way here, with a lot of firms playing four places. I like Tamuras after his Tolworth win on soft ground. He was really strong at the line there. He actually won by easier than it looked, I thought. And the third and fourth came out and filled the first two in a grade two at Kelso. I think he's very good value, about 10-1. The other one's in the pocket at a big price. He does stay further than 2 miles. I'm actually kind of surprised he's running there. I thought he might run in the Ballymore. But he absolutely loves softer, heavy ground. Good run behind Elite Tomp second last time. Elite Tomp would have been better suited by those conditions, I'd say. He's much more experienced going into it. And I think there's a lot more to come from that also. They're the two for me.
Okay, yeah, a couple there from Robbie. Elite Tomp to Muras, the ones for Robbie. In the pocket sport, quite a few anti-post slips, Jamie, for a few people who have backed this horse anti-post for the Ballymore. Now coming here is a very interesting horse in this race.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm within the pocket as well at a price each way. He's also only 250 guineas in fantasy. I think probably a bit of a hangover from people expecting him to go to the Ballymore. So he basically makes your fantasy list. I'd fancy him to turn around the form with Elite Tomp over a sort of more staying 2 miles on soft ground. Yeah, he looked like he wanted further. And you know, that form with three car brag earlier in the season made him out to look like maybe a 2.5. Staying, or maybe more of a stayer in the making, but for me, he's got a live chance here at double figures. I also would probably take a small chance on Dark Raven. Everyone's quietly fancying Dr. Bravo as sort of like a shrewd each way, run a big race, but I don't see the reason why you can turn around the form with Dark Raven, and I think Dark Raven's the type that might be suited to the Supreme Test. So Dark Raven in the pocket would be my two against the field, but it's wide open, and I'm sad to see the rain come against Marine National, because it sounds like I just got a very similar view to Robbie there, but we'll see where we go.
Yeah, on a bit of a slide as well, Marine National. It seems like in the pocket, I quite like this horse each way as well. I would have fancied this horse in the Ballymore, but I think a strong 2 miles and Supreme really is going to suit this horse. So yeah, I'm going to be in the pocket, potentially one for the Tote Fantasy team, saving that 10,000 guineas pool that we've got, and we only have to spend 250 guineas of it. So ideal. Let's move on to the Arkell, the 210, El Fabiolo versus John Bond, both 7-4. Joint favourites. Dives Like Dynamo 9-2. Sam Ra well back 17-2, and then 40-1 and bigger about the rest of them. Jamie, is this a battle between the top two, or is anything else going to get involved?
Yeah, I mean, I've been a big Dives Like Dynamo fan since his Chase debut. I think fences have put manners on him and made him race a bit more tractably. He obviously went a bit too keen, didn't quite get home at Leopardstown last time. However, this is actually a bit more of a speed test than Leopardstown would be. and I can see him running better, but he wouldn't be my pick here. I think El Fabiolo is just an absolute beast. That the Irish Arkle, which I think we should just rename the Arkle, and this is now the English Arkle, because that was the best 2-mile novice chase that we run this year, and potentially that I've seen in many years. And so I think El Fabiolo was absolutely mighty that day to clatter a couple as he did, but still win where there was nowhere to hide. I think he is just the one to beat. He's also a bit of a rick in fantasy. He's 2,500 guineas versus 3,750 for Jonbon. So he'll be popular. And if you are on side with him, I'd recommend stable starring him for double points.
Okay.
So yeah, El Fabiolo for me.
Yeah, El Fabiolo. I mean, there are concerns about El Fabiolo's jump. There's no doubt Robbie has a bit of an engine.
Oh, just a bit, mate, yeah. Totally agree with Jamie. That Irish Arkle was arguably better than this. I mean, you had Bambridge in there, appreciate it. That was top-class form. And he's won it by 10 lengths easily on his second chase start. You're looking at a bit of a freak here. I know Jonbon beat him at Aintree. He was pretty lucky too, really. El Fabiolo, very inexperienced going into that. His second start over hurdles. Jonbon had much more battle-hardened sort of race fitness beforehand. Yeah, really like this horse. Dice at Dynamo would actually scare me more than Jonbon on this slightly sharper test. He just seems like he'd probably be more of a 1 mile six horse, ideally. He doesn't seem to stay that strongly, but he will go hard up front and he will take a bit of pegging back. He's the one I'm really worried about. But I just think El Fabiolo is the best horse in the race. With a clean round, he wins this quite cosily.
I agree. I think the two Willie Mullins horses are the ones to be with, but I would be with El Fabiolo as well. So he seems like one we're going to be putting in over Jonbon. On to the 3:30, then the Unibet Champion Hurdle Challenge Trophy over 2 miles. And Constitution Hill is the 4-11 favourite. State Man 100-30, Vauban 14-1. I like to move at 20s, 100-1 and bigger about the other three in here. Now, the interesting angle in here is the fact that with the Tote Fantasy Games, Constitution Hill is 6,000 guineas. That would leave you only 4,000 left to play with your budget. Jamie, I think, like, I've played this game a couple of times now. The way to probably play this is to find the horse that you think is going to finish second and use what's called your steward's inquiry that boosts it up a place. Would I be right in saying that as a sensible move?
Yeah, spot on. That's exactly what I'm going to be doing here. Steward's inquiry typically works best on smaller fields, which is exactly what this is. And if you, I mean, a State Man makes obvious appeal to come second. You know, the exacter there, the 1-2 is going to be near enough even money. So you'd think State Man will prove very popular. He's only 1,750 guineas. So he'll be, I'd say, in the majority of lists, over 50% of lists with the Steward's inquiry on. But if you think maybe Vauban could improve past him, he's only 500 guineas, so that's interesting. I mean, for me, I'll probably just go the consensus play with State Man to come second, boost him to first. I might also punt Not So Sleepy a little bit in the in the without markets, just if nothing else, for a bit of sentimentality and a bit of crack, because you'd be mad if you were making an argument for him on form, but you know, he did well, dead heat at least in a fighting fifth with Epitome. So you know, there's a good horse in there, but yeah, it's tough to see anything getting past past State Man for second, I'd say.
You never know what's going to happen. We're Not So Sleepy in any race. Robbie, I've heard a lot of previews and I like to move it. Seems like one that a lot of people fancy to finish second here. Really superb performance in that Kingwell hurdle. I mean, what do you think is going to be finishing second, Constitution? Or do you think Constitution will be beat?
Well, I mean, there's always that angle that, you know, horses might pick up the pieces. If State Man might be the one that truly thinks he can beat Constitution Hill, the rest of them probably think this not even possible. So there's a chance State Man might compromise his chance and one of the other ones sort of picks up the pieces. But I don't know, I'll be looking at Arlott to move it to the ground a bit quicker, but he did flop a bit on soft and the rail keel. I know I was over further, but it looks like he's probably slightly better on quicker surface. I think I can't really find an angle in it, to be honest. So I'll sit back and watch an absolute superstar probably go and win this by a comfortable 10 lengths.
10 lengths. Jamie, how far do you reckon he'll win it by?
Yeah, 10 plus. I don't think they're going to be holding back with him, saving the handicap, Mark, will they?
Yeah, I've seen some bookmakers offering around 7-1 for this to be the longest winning distance of the week. Do you think that's a fair bet?
Seven, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're going through it. Like, what other races or horses would you put up for that? Maybe Shishkin for the Ryanair, I suppose. People might be looking at that.
Sometimes you see a bit of a romp in the cross country as well, don't you?
Oh, yeah, cross country is not a bad shout, yeah, if one of the big ones bombs out. That's 7-1, perfect. Not my kind of bet, but that's perfectly fair price.
Yeah, right, let's move on quickly then to the 4:10. This is the Close Brothers Mare's Hurdle. This is a superb race. It really is, over 2.5 miles. Marie's Rock, 11-4. Honeysuckle, 7-2. Epitome, 5-1. Brandy Love, 6-1. Love Envoy, 9-1. Double figures about the rest of them. Robbie, I quite like Brandy Loving here. It's a bit of an interesting one, but I think it's got Annie Power from 2016 written all over it. Off a long break, went to that race at Punchdown and then suddenly came on plenty and won this race. I just think that potentially this horse is going to improve bundles from that one. I would not worry about finishing third last on that.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I mean, she actually came out best on RPRs with Queensbrook that day, considering she was giving her quite a lot of weight. So, I wouldn't have Queensbrook. Brandy Love's going to be better going left-handed as well. She jumps out to her left when she goes right. So, the fact that she won so impressively at Fairy House as well, beating Love Envoy, who's well-fancied, is also interesting. I just think with the ground the way it is, Marie's Rock is the one that I bank on to be going close. Can't have Honeysuckle and Epitone. I think they're on the decline. They're 9-year-olds and past that. I think Marie's Rock showed in the rail kill, beating the boys under a grade one penalty, beating them easily. Career best that she's still in the upgrade. And she's got no problem with soft ground. They're talking about stepping up to 3 miles. You're going to need to stay well in the conditions. She will. I think she's going to be tough to beat in what is probably the best mare's race I can ever remember, to be honest.
Yeah, this definitely is. Jamie, a player or layer with Honeysuckle?
I was probably a player before the rain came and before Marie's Rock came here. But now, given both of those changes, I'd say I'm a layer and I'm siding with Marie's Rock. I think she's the coming horse in this. And also, like Robbie said, you can pick holes in all of the others. Honeysuckle and Epitome might be regressive. Brandy Love, it clearly has a bit of a screw loose somewhere, despite being very talented. Echoes and Rain probably doesn't want this trip and can be very keen. Love Envoy is only rated 147. Is she really up to this? And then you're into Queensbrook, Theatre Glory again, and she wears it well. Who might have a hole in her? So really, by process of elimination, you end up with Marie's Rock, and I think she's a fair bet in this. I really fancy her, actually.
Okay, Marie's Rock for Jamie. Love Envoy's just going to love this rain coming down. I'm going to want to see plenty of that. So will be an interesting race, and like I say, it's a very open mare's hurdle, but a very, very quality mare's hurdle. Let's go on to the final race on the card, which is the 5:30 at Cheltenham. It's 3¾ miles for the National Hunt Challenge Cup Amateur Jockeys Novices Chase, and Gaillard de Menil, a lot of people's banker on day one, is even money. Chemical Energy 13-2 along with Marla Mission. Manella Crooner 7-1. Mr. Coffee is 10-1. 20-1 bar these. Jamie, banker for you?
I'm keen to take him on, and I don't quite have the answer as to why. You know, when you just have a feeling that a horse is bound to make an error or just maybe not be quite that good. Of all the horses to back at even money, he's just not the one I'd want. And he's 5,000 guineas in the game in fantasy as well. So, yeah, I'm keen to take him on. I'm not quite sure what with. I mean, Mr. Coffee, you'd think, is nailed on for second or third. But I don't have. I'm not that much of a masochist that I'm going to include. I'm probably going to side with Manella Crooner. I like the Barry O'Neill booking for Gordon. And although he looks at Gordon second string with Jamie Cole on Chemical Energy, I think he probably has more scope to improve versus the others. And the slower pace of the 4 miler might suit him. So, yeah, Manella Crooner for me, but it's not a confident one. I'm happy to be swayed by the boys.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one, this one, because 5,000 guineas in the tote fan, that's half your budget on Gaillard de Menil. I wouldn't really want to be taking that. Do you think this horse will just win?
I think he probably will, yeah. I've been saying all year, I'm not sure he's going to run it. I think he might run the Brown Advisory, but I got that wrong. I'm on Mr. Coffee anti-post a long time ago.
But what price?
He's 25s.
Oh, okay.
So, but I mean, yeah, I was thinking it was going to be more of an open race. I think I like the second season novice angle and the fact he was second to Kim Muir last season, very experienced. He seems to be slightly better this season as well. Everything's been gearing up to this. But Gaillard de Menil is going to be tough to beat, isn't he? That Brown Advisory form stands out. Irish Grand National third last season stand out. You know he's going to stay, you know, like soft ground. So I think he probably is a banker, to be honest.
Okay, Gaillard de Menil for Robbie. Going to be an interesting one. We will get at the end of this postcast, we'll get the tote fantasy team for day one from Jamie. I'm sure he's going to be building that together. Let's move on to Wednesday then, and we start off with the first race in the car, which is the Ballymore Novices Hurdle. 2 mile, 5 furlongs here. Impere Pass, now 7-4 favourite, well supported since the preview circuit's been going. Hermes Elen, 11-4. Gaelic Warrior, 5-1. Fasel Vega won't be in here. We haven't, just to let you know, we haven't got the full decks at the time of recording. Goodland's going to be 6-1. Champ Kylie, I think, is one of the forgotten horses at 8-1, and then 10-1 and bigger the rest. Impere Pass, loads being said about this horse in these previews. Robbie, Mikey Fogarty, I know Jamie was on a preview of him. He was very sweet on this at around 7-2, now into 7-4 favourite. Could this just go and hack up?
Could well do, mate, yeah. I mean, I've got nothing against him. I certainly prefer him to Hermes Alain. I'm not sure that Chalo form is particularly outstanding, ooh, to be honest. I know he also come out and won, but they've been in kind of moderate sort of races. Good Land's interesting as well. I really find this quite a confusing one, to be honest. It's not one I'm really rushing to get stuck into. I'd probably have it between Impera Pass and Good Land. I think Gaelic Warrior's sort of tendency to jump out to is right. It's going to cost him.
He will appreciate the rain, Gaelic Warrior, but yeah, I'd be a bit worried about the jumping to the right. Jamie, who for you in here? Do you think Impera Pass is a good thing?
Yeah, to be honest, I'm similar with Robbie. I'm soft enough on it. Like, it's a really good race for a start, and that makes it slightly more challenging to have a punt in. You're taking quite a lot on trust with Impera Pass, because as much as he's been mighty in his two starts over hurdles, you know, that is all you've got to go on, and he hasn't really run against much. So it's tough to bet him at 7-4, but he would probably be my tentative selection. I might look to maybe have a bit of a sort of dodgy each way on the day, seeing what else gets declared at bigger prices. But yeah, he'd be the likeliest winner for me, but not my strongest pick of the day.
Okay, yeah, it's going to be an interesting race there. I do think Impera Pass might end up to be too good, but I know they're very confident about Good Land in the stable, so we'll wait and see with regards to that. On to the 210, the Brown Advisory Novices Chase. Robbie was hoping that Gael de Manil would turn up here, but he's not going to. It's 3 miles here, and Jerry Colon, this is one that's definitely going to be appreciating this rain coming down. 13-8 favourite. We've got Mighty Potter, he won't be in here. The Real Whackers, 5-1. Sir Garhard, 11-2. Time Hill, 7-1. Gallia de la Toe, another that's going to really appreciate the ground and is going to get the allowances at 8-1. And double figures, bar these. Robbie, rain coming down. Jericho, I'm unbeaten. Should win this.
Should he?
Yeah, I think he should.
Well, I mean, yeah, I was impressed with that Celia Isles win, to be fair. I mean, we've always thought he was going to be a 3-miler and the ground's quick enough there. But I don't know, it's a pretty hot race, to be honest. I'm going to put up the Real Whacker after he won at the Dipper. I think that's an outstanding performance. He jumps as good as any novice I've seen, really, since Brave Man's Games, novice days probably. He's very interesting. Gallia de la Toe, now the rain's come, she's fascinating, getting the £7. Looks excellent at Warwick. Loves a real slog. I don't know, I think there's a lot here. I think even like Ramillies, that was, he probably should have won that race at Nace recently. He's an interesting horse. Segura's been declared as well. I mean, I'm not sure about him over 3 miles, but I mean, he's the best that he's over hurdles. I don't know, I think there are ways Jerry Colon can get beaten here, to be honest. I think this is an outstanding race.
Yeah, it is a good race. And Jamie, are you in the same opinion, or do you think that Jerry Colon should win this?
Yeah, I'm taking him on because I remember at stable tours at the start of the season. I mean, this is incredibly dangerous to be trading off this. But, you know, Gordon always has a glint in his eye when he talks about horses. He had one about Mighty Potter. He didn't have one about Jerry Colon. They were sort of like, yeah, he's a good horse, but we're just going to wait and see how good. Whereas they've always known how good Mighty Potter is. And I just think at this price, I have would have my question marks about his form that then isn't allayed by Gordon going, no, don't worry about that. He's a superstar. So I'm taking him on, and I'm going to take him on with Adamantly Chosen, who I think goes here. And I would really like him if he did, stepping up to 3 miles, having been staying on behind Mighty Potter last time and staying on behind Jerry Colon at Limerick at Christmas. So, yeah, he's a double-figure price. And on ratings, he's bang there with the best of these. So, maybe he can run into a place or upset the fab, but Adamantly Chosen would be my pick.
Okay, Adamantly Chosen for Jamie. Let's go on to the highlight of the day then, the 3:30, which is the Queen Mother Champion Chase. 2 miles here, and 7 have been declared for this. Edward Stone, 7-4. Energamine, 2-1. Edster de Geet, 6-1. Nube Negra, 20-1. Greenatine, 25-1. Fernambul Sivola, 40-1. And Captain Guinness, 50-1. Obviously, Gentle de Mee came out yesterday. Not going to be running here. A lot of fancy this horse. One horse that will not be liking the ground, which is a massive shame. I was hoping that Editor Jeep would run a big race. He's not going to appreciate this ground. It's going to be very difficult for him to win, I feel. I just think this might play into Energamine's hands, Jamie. What's your thoughts?
I can see that thinking. I would be with Edward Stone, though, as the sort of most solid option. I feel like we know that Edwardson is better than Energamine on the last running. I don't think the excuses are enough to justify the distance between the two of them. It wouldn't be a confident vote now. And in full disclosure, I've had a big old swing at Captain Guinness at a price because I think I said I wasn't a masochist earlier in the pod, but maybe I am. He's a 160 horse, no more, no less. And, you know, I think he just runs his race. And if Anogamine and Edwardstone aren't quite the horses, the 170 horses they've looked like they could be, then he could be there to pick up the pieces. But I'd probably side with Edwardstone, but happy to be swayed by the lads.
Yeah, Edwardstone for Jace. No, it's going to be an interesting race, this one, now the rain's come. Robbie, is it between the top two
it's
now?
It's a shame Gentleman Demi's not running because he's really good at Leopard's Gun. Only seven have been declared as well, so that takes away the kind of three place each way, annoyingly. I can't have Energamine at all, to be honest. I don't know if you saw, Rodders did a really nice piece of analysis last week looking at Mullins' record at the festival, and he noted how his record with older horses really drops off as soon as they hit eight. They really drop off. As soon as they lose their form, it's difficult for them to come back. I don't see how there's any reason that he can reverse form with Edwardstone in it. And Editor De Geet on that running, to be honest. I know they're talking about the colour of fences and stuff, but I don't really see it. I feel like we've seen the best of him now. Disagree with you on Editor De Geet slightly. I think he's absolutely fine on soft. I mean, the Kempton run from beating Nube Negra 13 lengths, that was on soft ground. It was soft in the rearranged Clarence House. I think it's between those two, to be honest. And if pushed, I'd probably say Edwardstone.
Okay. Yeah, I was on a preview of Noah Houlihan, the jockey of Editor De Geet, and he was hoping that it would stay dry. Unfortunately, that rain's come, so we'll wait and see. Let's go on to the bumper, the final race we'll preview on day two. It's 2 miles here, and I've just heard that Willie Mullins has 10 runners in the champion bumper. I mean, A Dream to Share tops the market at 7-2, 9-2 about it for me, Factor File 8-1, Fun, 9-1, Beth Days Ahead, 12-1, bigger the rest. The thing is, Robbie, I did fancy Dream Show. Again, the ground might have gone slightly against this horse. Is it going to be one of Willie Mullins' 10 that's going to win it?
It might do. I've been Dream Show's sort of, he won the best bumper we've seen all season pretty easily at Leopardstown, didn't he? And he was carrying a £3 penalty and he was returned from a layoff. But the conditions are going to be different. That's the problem. He's obviously the right favourite. But I'm kind of warming to Factor File if it's really testing ground. I know he's got a little bit to find with A Dream to Share on that Leopardstown running. But, I mean, it was a good run. It was a good race, for sure. I mean, there was a lot of bump winners in behind. And they pulled well clear of the third. The fact that he's won over 2 mile four on soft encourages me. That was an impressive victory there at Leopardstown over Christmas. Just the fact that you know he's going to be a 3 mile chaser in time, 3 mile sort of hurdler in time, he's going to stay this trip, is definitely interesting to me. You're going to get, there's 24 runners declared, you're going to get a lot of places. So I think now, on this ground, I might be against the Dream to Share.
Okay, right, fine. What's the number one selection?
I'm going to go Factor File, but Factor File. I could easily change my mind later on, mate, to be honest.
Yeah, James, it's going to be interesting to find out what Patrick Mullins ends up being jocked up on. I haven't seen anything as of yet, but he did name drop it for me in Factor File yesterday. I did hear in an interview. So I agree with Robbie. I think Factor File, the ground's going to suit this horse. He'd probably be the one for me each way. What about yourself?
Yeah, there's an echo in here, lads, because I'm on Factor File as well. The more staying challenge here, combined with the soft ground, all of that, I'd fancy him to turn around the form with A Dream to Share, and that is the best bumper form on show here. So I won't repeat you lads. A Factor File for me.
There we go. That's our preview of day one and two. We'll be back shortly after this.
Win without backing a winner. A minimum of £1 million to be won in the Tote play spot every day of the Cheltenham Festival. Claim your free play spot for day one of the festival at tote.co.uk. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the postcast with myself, Sam Hart, Robbie Wilders and Jamie Benson. As you heard from that advert just there, the Tote play spot, £1 million every day. Go on, Jamie, tell us more.
Yeah, so the place pot back in the day might have got up to this level, but not for a while. And it's great to see it back here. And basically what it means is there's more money in the pot, so hopefully the dividends will be bigger. We've seen that before, an £84,000 dividend on back in the day in the Mayor's Hurdle when it had a 40-1 shot winner, and then to the 33s and 20s. It's actually not as impossible as you think to land the big prize like that. But it's worth remembering that with these big pots, if you do have a decent enough perm, it only takes a couple of fives to be unplaced, and the dividend ratchets up really, really quickly. So yeah, a great offer. It's not even an offer actually. It's just a you can bet it wherever you want with the Tote, with bookies on the race course anywhere. The £1 million place spot will be available.
Yeah, play spot certainly worth getting involved with every day of the festival. Let's go on to our preview of day three then, where we start off with the Turners Novices Chase at 132.5 mile here. And Mighty Potter tops the market at 5-4. Banbridge 100-30. Appreciate it 4-1. Sir Gerhard is 6-1. Balco Coastal and Stage Star 11-1, 16-1. Bar these. Mighty Potter. Do you think he'll win this, Robbie?
If there's any other track, you'd be thinking 5-4. Yes, please, probably, because, I mean, this is already quite a prolific horse, isn't he? He's already won 4 grade ones. It feels like he's not even been around that long, to be honest. Very, very smart horse, but the fact that he bombed out of Cheltenham last year has got to be a bit of a concern. Banbridge, probably better on good ground, to be fair. I'm not sure about him, unless it dries out quite a lot. Appreciate it. 9 years old now. Might have reached his zenith. I'm looking at Stage Star, to be honest, mate. I was really impressed with him on trials day and that handicap off top weight. That normally takes quite a lot of winning. And he was very authoritative there. Outstanding jumper. I know he bombed out in the Ballymore last season, but fences has really seemed to improve him. Just his jumping is just going to keep him in it for me. And there's a big engine there. I could see him causing a bit of an upset. He's a double figure price and looks a decent each way play to me.
Stage Star, course and distance, we're 11-1. Top weight really that day, and I thought that was a really impressive display, beating the horse that he beat. So, yeah, I think he's a fair each way shout in here. Jamie, what about yourself?
I'm a big Mighty Potter fan. I totally understand the question marks around his run in the Supreme last year. And he just did seem to get a bit worked up, which I'd say is more concerning than the run itself. Because he isn't really that much of a hothead, but Cheltenham last year seemed to push a few buttons, so that would be a concern. But I think if he goes down to the start right, I don't actually have track concerns. He's pretty flexible, you'd say, and adaptable. He doesn't have a run style that suggests he needs certain conditions. So I'd be pretty keen on him. I'd probably be backing him nearer the off rather than at this stage. And then at an each way price, I might take a chance on James de Burley. There are no excuses for last time. He just didn't run very well. But you go back to his chase debut and he jumped beautifully. He was probably the best chase debut I've seen this season in terms of how he jumped. So if he comes back to that form, you know, combined with the feeling that he has a good engine, I can see him running well. I would prefer to have seen him over 3 miles, if I'm honest, giving him a bit more time to organise himself. But he is quick at his fences, so maybe James de Burley in the each way price, but I can't see Mighty Potter getting beat realistically.
Okay, Mighty Potter the one to beat, but a few bigger prices each way for the gents. On to the next race then, the 250 is the Ryanair Chase, 2.5 miles here. Shishkin, 5-6 favourite. Blue Lord, 11-2. Janadil, 15-2. Fury Road, 9-1. Envoy Len, 12-1, conflated 16s and 18s and bigger the rest. Shishkin, very disappointing, obviously at Sandown at the start of the season, then came back at Ascot and was ultra impressive. Robbie, worthy favourite?
Oh, for sure, worthy favourite, but whether he's going to replicate that such a massive performance 3 weeks later is another question. I don't know if I'd be taking odds on about him, to be honest. I'd probably prefer him if he had more time between his races. I don't know, Janadil's interesting, isn't he, on that Goran Park return. That suggested he's probably improved again. It's, you know, he came from an unpromising position that day and he made up a lot of late ground. It was quite an impressive display. He's no problem with soft ground if that holds up as well. Put up Hitman a while ago. I don't think he's completely out of it. I know he has been beaten a few times. He was beaten by Zanza, for goodness sake, at Newbury last time, but we all know what Zanza's like there. And a lot of Paul Nicholas's horses get beaten at short odds at that meeting, and they tend to sort of put that form well behind them at Cheltenham and Aintree. Grenadier team is beaten there. He's had a lot of big names over the years have lost. I could see a big run from him, and he's got no problem on soft ground. I don't think we've seen the best of Hitman. So I think, because I'm on Hitman already, I think I'll probably side with Janadil, because I think he'll definitely be in the first three, and Shishkin is not unbeatable.
Yeah, I think Jandil definitely looks like the one that could be finishing second behind Shishkin. But I'm actually with you. I quite like Hitman. I think he has all the ability to win a race like this. We just have to wait and see what he's like on the day. Jamie, are you going to be taking Shishkin on at all?
Yeah, you've probably got to at the prices, you know, and he'll be at least 5,000 guineas in fantasy. So I'll be looking to take him on just because of his potential to blow out. And reluctantly, I've landed on Janadil. I was really impressed by him at Goran, but the vibes since have been, you know, that he might not be necessarily at a grade one horse, which is concerning coming from the Mullins yard, you know, where they are keen enough to talk up their horses. But he's probably where I'll go. I think he's solid. And again, Hitman, I agree. I totally see the case for him, but he did bleed last time. And, you know, it's just very difficult to side with a bleeder, especially in something like fantasy, where if they don't win, you want them to run solid. So I'd probably play Janadil here with a Stewart's Inquiry on.
Okay, yeah, probably in agreement there. I think he's the one to put in the tote fantasy teams. Janadil, one that's popular with the panel here. On to the 3:30 then, the Paddy Power Stayers hurdle over 3 miles here. And before we get into the previous race, over the weekend I managed to catch up with tote ambassador Danny Mullins about his ride on the defending back-to-back champion Flooring Porter.
Danny, thanks for joining us on the podcast. A nice short interview here. The main horse that a lot of our listeners are going to be wanting to hear about is the two-time Stayers Hurdle winner and defending champion Flooring Porter. I know he hasn't had the ideal prep going into the festival. We've heard plenty from Gavin Cromwell with regards to that, but what do you make of his chances?
Flooring Porter goes back to Cheltenham, yeah, to defend his Stayers Hurdle crown. Obviously, he hasn't had the ideal preparation, but Gavin's been very pleased with him in recent weeks. And the fact that something showed up after maybe two lacklustre runs to start off the season this year gives him a chance of coming back to his best now that he's recovered from that. Ideally, the preparation might have been better post-Christmas, but at least something has came to light, and the fact that Gavin is in good spirits about him gives me great confidence going into the race.
And in the novice hurdles, this is going to be an interesting one. I know Willie Mullins is going to have plenty for the races, but is there one that you're particularly excited about getting on potentially for the week?
I think in the Ballymore, I have a good chance of getting the ride on Champ Kylie again. Hopefully, Paul will go with Imperial Pass, who has a big reputation as well. You know, Champ Kylie, he's a grade one winner. I think he'd have a good chance in what is a competitive race.
One question I do like to ask jockeys, Danny, is a horse potentially to look out for the week. You might not be riding this horse, but is there anything at a price that you've looked at? I know you've been on plenty of these Cheltenham previews. Have you looked at any horses and gone, they might be too big a price?
One at a bigger price next Friday in Cheltenham, the Mare's Chase. I think she's quite forgotten about, this mare, Zambella. Simon Munier, Isaac Swade's mare here. She was only beat 4 lengths in the race last year at a ding-dong finish, and got beat the last day by Jeremy's Flame, but had won quite nicely before that. She would have been one of the favourites for the race earlier in the season. It's out to 20-1 now. I think that's a very good price for a mare that can bounce back to form, and you know she acts around the track.
Lovely quick interview with Danny Mullins there. Thanks for joining us, Danny.
Thanks, Sam. Great to speak to you. Chat to you soon.
There you go. It's a pleasure to be joined by Danny Mullins over the weekend. A nice quick chat about his ride on Flooring Porter and potentially a few other horses to look out for during the week. Looking at the market then, Blazing Cow is 3-1 favourite for the Stayers Hurdle. Marie's Rock won't be here, but it's 4-1. Tearpoo, 4-1. Flooring Porter is 6-1, along with Home by the Lee. Classical Dream, 10-1. 12-1 about the French Raider. Gold Sweet, 14-1. Bar these. Interesting hearing what Danny Mullins had to say there, Robbie. And we all know that Flooring Porter hasn't quite been at his best this season. He is the back-to-back defending champion. We know he's probably going to go off and lead from the front, but do you give him any chance?
Nah.
None at all?
Nah, nor Blazing Cow. You don't win Cheltenham Festival races with a bad preparation like that, for me. You need everything.
Not the horses for courses.
He's smiling to him. Yeah, I mean, I know he's got the course form, but I just think you need everything to go according to plan in the build-up, and it just hasn't. I'm surprised Blazing Cow's favourite, to be honest. With Marie's Rock out, Tearpoo is probably the likeliest winner, but I'm open. I am on Home by the Lee, a long way out, and also Gold Tweet. And I'd also give, in a quite open race, a bit of a shout-out to Steering for Longer if he runs.
He's interesting. He's so interesting.
I know he's 9, and I was slagging off older horses for Mullins, but he is lightly raced, and he's got so much ability, and he didn't always show it over fences because, you know, he looked like he's going to win a King George at one point. He just felt at the last. He looked like he was going to win a John Durkin, felt at the last. There's so much there, and Mullins did this with Penhill a few years ago.
Yeah, it's got a Penhill feel to it, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So I've had a few quid on him, sort of non-one or no bet. He might not turn up, but if he does, I think you've got to be slightly interested in a pretty open running. I don't think it's cut and dry by any means that Blazing Cow is going to win this, even though he's favourite.
Yeah, 40-1 Astirian Falange, currently best priced. And there are a few at price. I mean, Henri Le Facour is the other French horse in here. This horse interesting. Before the Cleve Hurdle at Goldsweet won, this horse was actually rated 2 kilos heavier than Goldsweet in France. That's an interesting angle.
Wrong, what, 2 kilos is in pounds, mate?
I don't actually know. Do you know?
It's actually, isn't it 2.2?
Something like 2.2 that,
2.2
yeah.
kilo to... pounds.
Something, yeah.
Okay, so a little bit.
Yeah, he was right, but yeah. I mean, rated better, and a lot of people fancy Goldsweet. This horse a bit of an unknown, Henri Le Facour. Felix de Jars is jocked up to the ride, 25-1. I think you could see a surprisingly big run from this in an open looking field. Jamie, we're all going to want so ambassador Danny Mullins to win in some Florian Porter, but it's probably his toughest task to date, isn't it?
Yeah, and it would be quite a fun thing if he was to win it and win the same race 3 years in a row, yeah. Having never gone off favourite for it. which I reckon must be the first time. But I'm soft enough on the front of the market. He's looked a little bit regressive, Florian Porter, and he hasn't necessarily run with the same verve as he has before. And it's just, I reckon it could be a whole load of mid 150, low 160 horses. And if that's the case, and you know, if you thought you were mad with Astirian Falange, this is even madder. I'm going to have a punt on Sire de Burle.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
100-1, Jamie.
Yeah, right. And this is an open race. Like this is not a race where there is a standout in it. There could yet be. You know, Blazing Cow could yet prove to be that standout. But he was only 10 lengths. Sire de Burle was 10 lengths behind Blazing Cow last time, and he looked in need of the run. He just sort of didn't quite run as you would expect. And basically, yeah, he beat Florian Porter last season at Aintree. He's not gone at the game, and if JP didn't get him qualified for the Potemps, I wonder whether this has been a stable star, right? Like, you know, he's won 2 Potemps. He is a proper superstar and loved in that Gordon Yard. I wonder whether they think, rather than try and win the Potemps, when it would be very obvious, let's try and win the Stayers Hurdle at 1,000,000 to 1 as his send off. So, yeah, I mean, you can back many 100-1 shots and not go poor. So. That's the thinking.
You can't criticise a man for putting up 100s, Pope, can you?
No, in a race like this, where it's so open, I think the best way to play this is going for something right at the bottom.
Yeah, why not? He's £4 better off a Blazing Cow as well. Comes alive in the spring.
Exactly.
Why not?
You could make a case for a lot of these runs. Even Paisley Park. Open, I mean, I think with Paisley Park, one thing that didn't happen in that Cleve Hurdle is it was run very slowly. I think a stronger pace that could potentially come from the likes of Dash or Drasher here could actually suit a lot better.
Sure. One horse who won't win is Charger. That's what I will say. But apart from that, mate, I'd give pretty much anything a shout.
Charger. I don't know what the plan is with Charger.
County Hurdle. I'm just going through the entries. Like,
yeah. We don't know obviously the full field.
Oh, and Florian Porter. Sorry, Danny. Can't win.
Not going to be winning. Okay, so there we go. A few interesting angles with regards to the Stayers Hurdle. Definitely one to be playing at price, and you probably get some at cheap guineas in the Tote Fantasy game. On to the 450 then. It's the Jack de Bromhead Mares Novices Hurdle. Grade 2 this one over 2 mile, 1 furlong. Lucia, 7-4 favourite. Astro Diamond is 9-2. Lots of Joy, 13-2. You Wear It Well, 11-1. Magical Zoe, 14-1. 16-1. Bar these. Lucia tops the market, Jamie, but are we mad not to go with a Willie Mullins horse in this, considering he absolutely loves this race?
Yeah, I mean, Nicky has a decent enough record in it as well, but for me, Lucia looks a class apart from this field, and although Lot of Joy's platform's excellent, Astro Diamond has got graded novice form, You Wear It Well has looked really solid and when running against the boys, and Magical Zoe has been put away and laid out for this, I still think that Lucia is probably £10 clear of these and has the option to progress further. The rain will have helped her. I think she's absolutely rock solid and would probably be my stable star, because also this will be a big field. You always get quite a few going at big prices, and you get extra points in fantasy if it's a big field and if they win by over a length. So I think she'll probably be my stable star on the Thursday. Hoping to get sort of 54-ish points with her, which would put you a long way clear. So, yeah, Lucia for me.
Okay, Lucia at 7-4 for Jamie. What about yourself, Robbie?
I quite like the Model Kingdom at about 33-1. Particularly if Impera Pass goes out and takes out the Ballymore, because she finished second to him at Punchdown last time. Handles testing ground, very consistent, never finished out the first three. Quite a null mead when he sends one over. She's also entering the county hurdle, but she wouldn't be guaranteed to get into that. She's just tough, consistent, proper two-miler, will go on any ground. I could just see that horse, that price, sorry, shortening if Impera Pass comes out and wins, as a lot of people expect to. Nothing against Lucia, like most likely winner, but I don't know, when I see a horse with a £5 penalty as favourite in this kind of race, I always try and look for something each way that's gonna that might outrun their odds, and there's going to be a big field. You're going to probably get at least five places, so the Model Kingdom is one to look at this stage, I'd say.
The Model Kingdom, let me see if I've got a price. Have you got a price there?
There's
33s. Okay, another big
price. This also has been traditionally a race that can throw big price winners. So
yes, it can.
Yeah, it's definitely worth taking a bit of a flyer on. And it's important to remember some horses are running with penalties and others aren't. So, yeah, it's a bit more of an interesting race than it might otherwise look. I would definitely agree with that.
Could be plenty of big price selections going on the Thursday, especially if Cider Burla goes in at 100 to 1 for you, Jamie. So have to wait and see there. Let's move on.
I think if Cider Burla goes in, I won't be making the Friday.
Let's move on to the Friday then. 2 mile, 1 furlong for the JCB Triumph hurdle here. Blood Destiny and Lossy Mouth, joint favourites at 7-4. They've been flip-flopping all week. Gala Marceau, 4-1, 16-1 about Zenta, 25-1. About the rest of them. I can see Lossy Mouth turning the form around with Gala Marceau, Robbie, but Blood Destiny is the one that they've got to beat.
Yeah, I think that will happen for sure. Lossy Mouth, plenty unlucky there, really. On the other hand, I know Gala Marceau was pretty keen, so you can kind of mark her up, but I still think Lossy Mouth is the mess to take out of that. You don't really know what you're dealing with Blood Destiny, to be honest. Really, really impressive performance at Fairy House. We know he's a proper mud lover. So if the weather does hold up and it turns into a real test, he probably is the one to beat. But I've got a preview of this race in the paper late this week. I don't really know exactly where I'm going at the moment. So I think the ground is going to take a lot of it. So I'd rather sit on the fence than commit to one horse.
That's absolutely fine. Jamie, on the previews that you've been going on, who's been the one that everyone's been siding with, or has it been a fair 50-50 split?
It's been a fair split, but probably more on the side of Blood Destiny. Than anyone else, and I'd probably agree with that. I just saw, you know, the rest of the form is a bit muddling after that Lossy Mouth defeat last time, whereas Blood Destiny still has the potential to be 10 clear of these. You don't know, and that's the reason why he's odds against. He still has to go out and improve again, but I think he probably will, and he'd be my selection. There were a few whispers around for Zenta at a big old price, so maybe one to keep on side if you want a bit of an each way punt. But yeah, I think Blood Destiny probably just goes and wins.
Okay, Blood Destiny for Jeremy. I'm going to be with Lossy Mouth, hoping to see the horse bounce back after that unlucky run last time out. On to 250, which is the Albert Bartlett Novices Hurdle. This is definitely one that could throw up a big prize. 3 miles here, and Free Car Brag is the 4-1 favourite. Corbett's Cross is 9-2. I'm not sure this horse would be 9-2 if getting declared. Embassy Gardens, 7-1. Hidden Valley Lake, 9-1. Favre de Chambou is 12-1, along with Sandor Clegane, 14-1. Bar these. Jamie, if Corbett's Cross runs here, I'd probably be siding with him, but you're going to definitely be looking for one at a price here, aren't you?
Yeah, I would agree with you there, and this traditionally has been one that throws something a bit of a price, but also I think the profile for this race has changed a bit recently. It was always sort of one of the well-spoken about aspects on the preview circuit that you don't actually want a young, flashy type. You want to battle hard and maybe a second season novice hurdler to basically win what's quite an attritional race. However, I think that has slightly changed. You look at some of the past couple of winners, and they are, you know, Manetta Rindo won here. I think it's still as a maiden. So, you know, it very much has changed, and I think you get a better class of horse winning now. And my one at a bigger price would probably be Search for Glory. He's about 25. That Clonmel run last time out is getting a lot of attention, where Monty Starr beat Hidden Valley Lake. Search for Glory was third there, in receipt of weight from Hidden Valley Lake as well. But if you look at the race, they went a bit of a crawl, which didn't suit him, and he stayed on through the line. He was last one to pull up. He's 25-1, and I think he probably has a bit of a squeak. Although I know a couple of shrewd people, Dermot Nolan on the Race Out podcast, is all over Shambali Kid. for Winnie Mullins. The yard really like him. He actually was David Mullins' nap in that preview meeting as well. So I'd give a shout to him purely just on the basis of those two being judges.
Okay, Search for Glory 25-1 for Jamie. Another one, the Giggenstown colours. A big mention there, Sham Bally Kid for Willie Mullins. Free card brag is an interesting one, Robbie. I mean, yeah. if In the Pocket were to go close in the Supreme, there'd be money for this. Obviously, this horse was beaten by In the Pocket, but going to really appreciate the free master.
Yeah, he is. He's a horse I've followed closely all season. I like him. I just don't like his price. I mean, Jamie alluded to it earlier. This has a knack of throwing up huge price winners. Mm. One trend that I can't wait to reveal to Race Post readers later in the week when I write the preview for this is the record of horses who have won a point-to-point over 3 miles in this race. 7 of the last 10 winners. The level stakes profit is scary. Like that is a vital criterion when you're looking for the winner in this. I like Stay Away Faye, who beat Monty Starr 6 lengths in his point-to-point. He's unlike Paul Nichols to throw in a sort... He's a very sort of like softly kind of trainer. To chuck in Stay Away Faye after just 2 runs over hurdles in a race like this, which is renowned as pretty grueling, is quite interesting. He's 25-1. Should have won at Doncaster on his last start. He's pretty green there, but a bit of softer ground might seem to better effect. And he's the one I'm looking at this stage, but there are a lot of interesting profiles, to be honest.
I was at a preview night last week and Matt Chapman was actually the host of it. But Harry Cobden was on the panel and they were talking about the market and they asked Harry what he thinks to win. He said, he's likely to ride Stay Away Faye in this. And Matt Chapman's like, let's move on, joking. But I tell you now, Harry Cobden was so keen to get the point across of why this horse could go close. He thinks this horse is a very quality horse and at the price. I think he's got a chance as well. I think it's a fair price. So Stay Away Faye, definitely one to look out for in the Bartlett.
Absolutely love that point, that Irish point, the winning points angle. Because it makes sense. And also with a bit of confirmation bias on Search for Glory won his only points. So there you go.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jamie, actually. Yeah, so that ticks that criteria.
But, yeah.
No, it's good, Matt. Yeah. Make sure to see it in your Racing Post
this week. The postcast listeners get a little bit of
I'm not revealing the exact numbers, but serious profits if you backed all those runners blindly.
Okay, right, fine. Let's move on to the feature really of the whole week, which is the Cheltenham Gold Cup. 3.25 miles here, and Galloping Deschamps is the 7-4 favourite. Brave Man's Game, 13-2. Aplutar, last year's winners, 15-2. Noble Yates, the Grand National winner, 9-1. Statler, 10-1. 14-1. Bar these. Galloping Deschamps, Robbie, too short, or the winner?
I think probably might win. I finally changed my mind. Yeah, I mean, Leopardstown was... brilliant. We always knew it was brilliant. It was just how is he going to finish out his race over 3 miles, and he finished it really impressively. The only thing is, he did fall here last year. Whether that's kind of psychologically left some sort of mark, I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it. But horses fall in big races, mate. So at the same time, I'm probably not rushing to back him either. You're going to get 14, 13 runners here. You're probably going to get 4 places. I think I'd rather back Protector out each way, to be honest. Absolutely loves a bit of cut in the ground. Yes. He was 3rd in this last year, not beaten far by the 2nd. Horses do come back and after placing the Gold Cup and win it. It's happened a few times recently with the likes of Native Rivers done it. Aplutard, obviously, and Album Photo did back to back. So I don't think you necessarily need a horse first time out in the Gold Cup. Dan Skelton left him undercut, didn't he, for the Cotswold Chase, came out and said that. He was carrying a penalty that day as well. He's probably a bit more closely matched with Noble Yates than the odds suggest for me. And on his day, he's brilliant, like he showed in the Betfair Chase. Probably coming into his own now. So about 14-1, I'd certainly rather back him each way than Galopin, even though Galopin is pretty special.
Yeah, I think Galopin is just the likely winner, but I agree with you. I think Protector each way is the bet here. Jamie, do you think Galloping Deschamps will win? And what will you be playing each way in the race, if playing anything?
I mean, I'm desperate to have him on side in some capacity, Galloping Deschamps, because I would have been something of a doubter that he'd stay because he did race so exuberantly when he was a novice. But you couldn't help but be taken by how he basically stayed his way to victory at the DRF. And I think he, at 7-4, that is the right price. If he drifted, I'd definitely, 2-1, I'd be getting involved. I don't think he'll drift too much, to be fair. I think he'll always have his supporters. He'll keep nibbling him in. But there are the question marks that Robbie rightly points out. You know, he has fallen here before. And the one that I'd be taking on each, that I'd be backing each way is, if you like Protector out, then you've got to love Manella Indo at a few points bigger. Because, you know, that Gold Cup last year that Protector out was third in, Manella Indo was second and was the only one to really try and take on Aplutar. So his run last year puts him ahead of Protector out. And then if you look at his comeback run against against Statler, he admittedly was giving Statler weight that day. But that's his best run, he's had in winter in 3 years. You know, he doesn't run very well in winter. He comes alive at Cheltenham. Mm-hmm. He's won twice, been second twice. He feels like he's been around forever, but he's actually only a 10-year-old. And although 10-year-olds have a poor record in the race, I don't think he is a typical horse. You know, he's bucked trends before winning the Albert Bartlett. And I just think at 20-1, he is absolutely rock solid. And it would be my each way pick in the race.
Agreed, yeah. Manella Indo loves the course, like you say. Two wins, 2 seconds here at Cheltenham at the festival. So, yeah, he'd be another one that you'd want to be on side of each way. So, Protector at each way for Robbie. Jamie with Manella Indo. But we all are in agreement that Galloping Champ may be the most likely winner. On to the final race we're actually going to look at before getting the handicap fancies and best bets. The 450 is the Mrs. Paddy Power Mare's Chase. 2.5 miles here, a Grade 2 event. Allegory de Vassy, 6-4. Impervious, 9-4, Jeremy's Flame 5-1, 12-1 about Magic Days, and 20-1 and bigger the rest. Jamie, I think Allegory de Vassy, if having a sound round of jumping, will win this by a comfortable margin. I think she's top quality. But the question is the if of can she get round safely?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the old if my uncle didn't have a, you know, he'd be my aunt. The reality is she does jump violently right, and her engine is bigger than the lot of these, but is she going to jump her chance away? I'm probably going to take a chance on Magic Days, who, although she hasn't looked like she wanted this step up and trip, I've seen it before where you get these sort of tearaways over 2 miles, and then they actually appreciate the step up and trip, you know, Underso being one, and this sort of track and trip could suit her, and she might get her own way in front. She's a very classy mare, you know. She just wasn't quite ready for the Arkle last year, and I fancy her at a double figure price here with a lot of question marks over the others.
Magic Days. I'm actually sat here in the studio with Robbie filming in the studio today, recording, and you've given a thumbs up there. TJ, what was the thumbs up?
I was giving Jamie the thumbs up. He could actually see that as well. Yeah, I totally agree with Magic Days.
I was trying to keep my composure when Robbie's going.
I totally agree. There is a chance she runs in the Grand Annual, though, in a couple of days earlier. But, I just think she's very... What am I saying here? Right, let's go back. Allegory de Vassy jumps out to her right. That concerns me for a favourite. I don't like the fact that a novice is carrying a penalty and conceding weight to an established, experienced mare like Magic Days. That goes against Impervious as well. Just think she's been completely different beast this season. Beat Dino Blue the same, just as easily as Impervious did, under worse terms, and she's receiving weight from Impervious. So I think she should be shortened 12-1 just for that. And the fact that, like Jamie said, these tearaways, I mean, she has been setting them better in her races this season for me as well. I think that gives her every chance of staying this longer trip. There's a lot of ability there. I mean, she nearly won the Mare's Novice Hurdle a couple of years ago despite pulling desperately hard. We might not have seen the best of her just yet. She's 7, probably coming into her prime. Comes in off her career best, obviously, last time, and probably shouldn't be double figure odds. It's just a concern she might run the Grand Annual, but if she doesn't, I think she's a great each way bet here.
Yeah, non-runner, no bet. Probably the one there. You can easily get that now. Still double figure prices. 1-4 Magic Days in the Mare's Chase. That's the preview of the main races on days 1, 2, 3, and 4. We'll be back with you with the handicap fancies, the naps, and our Tote Fantasy team for day 1 shortly after this.
Tote Fantasy, proudly sponsoring the Racing Postcast. Daily fantasy racing with real cash prizes up for grabs. A cross between fantasy football and the play spot. Who's in your stable? Visit tote.co.uk/fantasy to find out more. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Postcast. Myself, Sam Hart, Robbie Wilders, and Tote Fantasy's Jamie Benson. We're going to get the handicap fantasies, the best bets, potentially for each day. We'll get a best bet on each day, and then we'll build the Tote Fantasy team for day 1. Robbie Wilders, let's start off with handicap fantasies for the week. Are there any that you've looked at and
yes,
really
mate.
Like?
I'm only going to cover the first day because that's fine. The only day I'm completely sure of my selections. But in the Ultima 250, one top of the market, Nassalam.
Yes.
I know this. The gentleman to my right is a big fan of Gary Moore horses, and so am I. I'm a big fan of this one. Form on good to soft or good ground is 6.5012, something off the top of my head. I haven't got it written down. Apologies for that. But on a softer or heavy surface, is 3.12, 1.21, all load of ones, load of twos. He's just basically much better on soft ground. The rain's come at the right time. And he's never had a go at the trip this far. The way he runs over 2.5 miles suggests he's going to be better over it. He's very strong at the line. Still reasonably treated off 1.44. And the form of his recent third was franked by Il Redotto, winning the corresponding race at Cheltenham on New Year's Day. Yeah, it was a good race. Like him, in the same race, can't resist a tickle on Issio Madrick, about 50-1. David Pipe and owner Caroline Tisdall combined for the winner of this race from 2016 to 2017 with On Thomas Paul 2. This horse makes his debut for New Connections. He was decent in France. He placed in a Grade 1 chase about a year ago. Loves a bit of soft, heavy ground. He's getting a £4 weight for age allowance as a five-year-old, and he's £14 load in his French mark. He's very interesting with Jack Tudor on, who's 4/13 for the Pipe Yard. Cool, I need to catch my breath after that. Two more for the Boodles at 4.50. Going to go from the English Punta del Este. Dan and Harry Skelton's only runner on the first day. Interesting profile, heavy ground winner in France, eye-catching running the Victor Adorum behind Bo Zenith, another of your mate Gary Moore's horses. Jumping warmed up nicely that day, and I think that's going to put him spot on for this after his stable debut. And the final one is Jazzy Matty. He ran in another novice hurdle that has honoured three of the last four winners of the Boodles. You like the likes of Band of Outlaws, your Aramaxes, etc. This horse was only fourth here, but the way the ground is, and looking at its pedigree, I think we're going to see a better performance this day. It turned into a bit of a sprint that wouldn't have suited him. The other horses are all flatbred. The other four we're running in this. He's by Dr. Dino. He's a half-brother to Delta Work. He's also a brother to the recent EBF final second, Innistan, another Gary Moore horse. But he's just going to be much better on a bit of soft ground and in a strongly run race, I'd say. So about 20-1. And with Michael O'Sullivan catching the eye as a jockey booking for Gordon Elliott, I can see him going well. So they're the four handicap plays I'll be having on the first day.
There you go. A few from Robbie there. I'm in complete agreement with Nasalam. I think now the rain's come, the yard would probably have told you Editor de Jeep was their best chance if the ground was good. But I think they'd quietly say this might be their best chance of the week now. That last race on New Year's Day, this horse was on and off the bridle throughout the race. And the one thing this horse does is stay, which is going to suit this horse down to T, Upton trip over 3 mile, 1 furn. I just think this is perfect. And this has been the plan all season. They'll be delighted to see the rain. So Nasalam be my number one pick. And I've only got one other, which isn't actually in a handicap, but is in the Hunter's Chase, which is a race that everybody hates. And it's actually Bob & Co., owned by David Maxwell. Harry Derham has now got this horse from Paul Nichols. Harry Derham, this is a story to be told. He's going to be given this horse. He's going to win his first Cheltenham Festival race. And one thing that I do know is that David Maxwell won't be aboard this horse. I'm pretty sure it's been confirmed that Jamie Codd will ride Bob & Co. in the Hunter's Chase. I just think this horse fresh has been off a long layoff, but this horse fresh runs really well. We've got to remember a couple of years ago, this horse actually finished in front of Billaway over at Punchestown. He does have talent. I know he fell in the race last year. We haven't seen him since, but I just know Harry Derham, he's been in fine form since he started training, and I just have this feeling that Bob & Co. is going to finally win the Hunter's Chase. So Bob & Co. and Nasalam for myself is big prices away from the main grade.
He's 12
races.
Though.
He is 12. They don't usually
it's Hunter
win
Chase,
this race.
Though,
it's a Hunter's Chase.
Yeah, exactly.
I just know that this horse, he goes well fresh. I would not worry about the fact he's coming straight here. But Bob & Co., Jamie Codd on board, I think it's a fair price.
Good luck
around
to you, mate.
What, 10, 12 to 1. Jamie, what about yourself in the handicaps across the week?
Yeah, so I've gone for one every day just to ping through quickly. I did fancy one in the ultimate, but after you lads on Nasalam, I might have to rethink it. But I did fancy Fast or Slow, who's been, because he was bought from France where he won a chase, he hasn't been able to run in novice chases this year, despite it effectively being his novice chase season. So he's been running around the back of top horses in graded company, in open company, behind Gentleman de Me at Chris at the DRF and Galloping de Chant at Christmas. But when last seen, he was second in two very competitive handicaps at Punchdown and Cheltenham, including second behind Commander of Fleet beating the short head at, in the Coral Cup last year. That was off a hurdles mark of 141, 144 at Punchestown. All of that points to him being a well-handicapped horse off his current chase rating of, I think he's been given 150 in this. He is a chaser. You know, this has been probably the plan all year. You'd say the big step up in trip is a real positive for him. He is only seven, but he looks like he's crying out for this. And he's a tidy jumper. He's been doing all his life. So fast or slow for me in the Ultima. Then on the Wednesday, if Magic Days doesn't go in the Grand Annual, then Curse Sublime would be my pick. We'll travel all over it, probably come second. But I can't have him... I can't leave him alone off a mark of 153. I just feel like he's better than that. And the way that the Grand Annual has run will suit him. He wants to be going a million and travel into it. So he might travel his way there and not quite realise what's happening before he's got a chance to throw it away. Then on Thursday in the Potemps, Good Time Johnny for Tony Martin. I was at a preview night a while ago, and he sort of at the start of the previous season, and he was very, very keen on the chances here. He's up a lot from when he won. I think it was at Christmas, Dublin Racing Festival in 22, and he's up a good sort of £12 for that win, but he absolutely gagged him, and you suspect since then this has been the plan. And then in the Martin Pipe on the Friday, the last race, I'm going for Spirit of Legend, who's a bit of a project horse for me. I think he's just potentially a graded horse in the making. He's been given 8 by the English handicapper, which is not ideal, but he was given a very, very gentle ride last time. And realistically, if I thought he was going to get 5, that would have taken him up to 134. If I don't think he can win off 138, but I did think he could win off 134, then I would probably have to pick a different horse. But ultimately, if you think he's a graded horse in the making, then 138 shouldn't stop him. So Spirit of Legend in the Martin Pipe to round off the festival, and he's about 33-1 at the moment. So
yeah,
that really would round it off.
40-1 here, Spirit of Legend. That'd be a good way to end the week. Yeah. Right, we'll get a best bet at this stage on all 4 days, Robbie. Catch you off guard here. So go day one, day two, day three, day four. Yeah, catch you off guard. Go on. What would be the best bet on each day?
I just deleted all my notes.
No,
right. Day one, 210 at Cheltenham, the Arkle, El Fabiolo. Day two, I'm improvising here.
Yeah.
We'll have 5:30 at Cheltenham, Champion Bumper, flat to file. Thursday, 4:50 at Cheltenham, the Model Kingdom. And Friday, Albert Bartlett, 2:50 at Cheltenham, stay away for you.
Okay, fine. I'm going to go Naslam as best bet on day one. Day two, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go Fact File in the Bumper. Thursday, I'm going to go with Henri Lefacour in the Stairs Herd. On Friday, I'm going to go with Protector each way in the Gold Cup. Jamie, I might have caught you off guard. You've had a little bit more time. What would be the best bets on each day at this stage?
Jesus, panic, full panic mode.
You've done enough of these previews, Jamie. You should have something.
Best bet on day one, I'm going in the pocket in the Supreme. Best bet on day two, I'm going for Captain Guinness in the Champion Chase.
My God.
We're talking about, but these are not naps. These are best bets.
Right, okay, yeah. No, that's for... Wouldn't before.
Thursday, just for your lad's sanity, I won't go for Side the Burley. I'm going to go for Good Time Johnny in the Potemps. And then Friday, I'm going to go with Manella Indo in the Gold Cup.
There we go. Okay, best bets at this stage on all 4 days, not long now until the festival gets underway. With regards to the Tote Fantasy game, Jamie, I'll let you quickly discuss how people can play it, what's involved, how to do it, and then we'll get, if you can give us, the day one team.
Yeah, so if you go to the Tote website, you play it on there, tote.co.uk/fantasy. You pick one horse in each of the 7 races from your 10,000 guinea budget. It's sort of like a cross between fantasy football and a place pot. It's about picking which fabs to be with and which to be against. So with that in mind, and you also get your 2 boosters we've discussed with your stable star, scoring double points like your captain, and Stewart's Inquiry getting boosted. And so, you're right, Robbie.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, no... Sorry, that was unprofessional. It's because I've backed Lieutenant Rocco for the Potemps. It's been declared for the cross country, but please carry on.
That's fine.
Okay. Anyway, so yeah, I'll ping through our team. So in the first, Fasol Vega, we're taking on with in the pocket. In the pocket's only 250 guineas versus Fasol Vega 2,500, which then frees us up to have a bit more of a punt elsewhere. In the second, in the Arkle, we've got El Fabiolo, 2,500 guineas. He'll be well selected, but he's also our stable star, so we'll score his double points if he wins. Then the 3 o'clock, the Ultima, we've got Nassalam, obviously, got to have that for the boys, only 750 guineas. Then in the Champion Hurdle, we've got State Man. Again, Constitution Hill, just too expensive. So we've got State Man, but put the Stewards Inquiry on him. So if he comes second, we'll get the points of first. Maria's Rock goes for us in the Mayor's Hurdle. She's only 1,750 guineas, so that's a nice one as well. Then we've got a bit of money left over, but not quite enough to have Gaia de Menil in the National Hunt Chase, who's 5,000 guineas. So instead, we've spent a bit more of the budget on Takao in the Boodles, who might not be the best bet at the prices, but given we can have him in fantasy, he feels like a nice selection to have on side. And then taking on Gaia de Menil at the prices, we've gone for Mr. Coffee, who you think, even if he might struggle to win, second or third, he should be pretty nailed on for. So that's our list, and fingers crossed, hopefully that delivers some return. It's money to the top 25%, so even you aren't ever really out of it. It's part of the reason why I invented it, because I always went out in the place pot in the first leg. But this, you're basically in it right until the last. Two winners is probably enough to sneak into the money. So it's good crack for a whole afternoon. I'll stop banging on about it now. I could talk about it a lot longer, but I'm going to let you all get off.
Yeah, it's such a good game. I mean, I'll be playing every day. I'll be in the Postcast League, and the Postcast will have a team every day as well. Jamie will build the other three teams once they're available, and they'll go in, and we might get something out on social media with regards to what team we're going to be playing. Robbie, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, no worries,
Matt. You in the office?
Yeah, I've been here every day. Apologies for being unprofessional at the end. Looking forward to it. Free food in the gaff as well, which not to be sniffed at. Bit of Lebanese cuisine tomorrow, apparently. So,
oh, lovely.
Exciting. Yeah, should be a good week, mate.
Yeah, looking forward to it, and best of luck to yourself. And Jamie, you're there all week. I mean, is it raining currently where you are?
It's all right. It's quite clement. It's no rain. It's blowing absolute gale. So you might get that sort of drying, tacky ground, which would be quite interesting. But yeah, no. Looking forward to getting down there and getting the first pint of Guinness in my hand at about 10:31 on Tuesday morning.
There we go. Yeah, it's best of luck to you, Jamie. It's sure going to be a really good week. Hopefully, plenty of good stories throughout the week as well. I'm going to be back on Friday for the Postcast with plenty of guests. We'll probably be recording that early again. Jamie will be joining myself and some of the Racing Post tips. There's a bit of a Cheltenham come down as we preview Utoxa's Midlands National meeting. But join us then. Thanks for listening, and we will see you very soon.